Hello, welcome to Nobelis Oblige, the podcast where we rank Nobel laureates from 1901 until we run out of people. I'm Maggie.
And I'm Quinn.
And today we are talking about the 2022 Prize in Economic Sciences in memory of Alfred Nobel. Big disclaimer, as you may remember from our episode talking about how the prizes were established. I am not an economist. I am in fact doing my best to approach this with like a normal, healthy amount of skepticism instead of the wildly huge amounts I want to bring to the topic and field of economics. Sorry to all the economists out there, but bear with me. This year's prize went to three people, Ben S. Bernanke. I'm sorry if I'm saying any of their names wrong, Douglas W. Diamond, and Philip H. Dybvig. They are all Americans, and they won for, quote, research on banks and financial crises. Not at all relevant in these trying times. So, from the Nobel Prize website and press release, they, quote, have significantly improved our understanding of the role of banks in the economy, particularly during financial crises. An important finding in their research is why avoiding bank collapses is vital. Basically, according to an NPR article, between the three of the laureates, they won for determining that, quote, governments can prevent bank runs by offering insurance for deposits, requiring banks to hold a minimum amount of cash, and by using the Federal Reserve as a lender of last resort. So it's US specific from three US laureates, but due to the nature of the huge size of the US economy in the world economy, it does have an impact on everywhere else.
I assume you'll get into this, but this sounds not incredibly innovative.
Yeah. So I can't tell because I don't have an in-depth, thorough knowledge of the history of economics as like a field, whether this was something that like nobody had thought of or like they thought it was the case but they couldn't prove it, so then people who didn't think it was the case could just run wild. I don't know if this is like a wild change in the field. The Diamond and Dybvig, they basically wrote a paper in the early 80s that at the time, like that's what they won the prize for. It's research that has been cited like over 11,000 times at this point. And I don't know if that's because they were glad someone finally said it out loud and they could quote them on it, or if it's because no one had thought of it before and they were like the first. You'd have to ask an economist or someone with a degree in economics.
I guess it depends on the nature of the paper. Like, was it, because like I'm pretty sure that, for example, like insuring bank accounts was a thing that like FDR did after the Great Depression.
Yeah, I'll get into it, but basically their paper studied the Great Depression to determine what went wrong and how it could have been prevented. Like and
Okay.
Bernanke also did that. So, it's entirely possible that they were the first ones to do that in that much depth or with this lens or whatever. I'm not sure. I did not have the time tonight to research the history of economics before their paper. I just know what they won for and can explain that.
That's fair. So it sounds like it's more of like a, here's a thing that happened in the past that could very easily happen again. Let's quantify the things that they did to rectify it.
Kind of. They created a model for how bank. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. I
Okay.
will explain what they did, and hopefully that will answer your question. And if not, we can go hunt down an economist somewhere and get them to answer it. Before I get into what the NPR article quote explaining it is and means in more depth, here's a little bit about the people who won. Bernanke is an American economist, and he served as the 14th chair of the Federal Reserve, which, for anyone who doesn't know, either because they don't pay attention to economics or because they are not American, is essentially the central banking system of the US. It was created in 1913, which, fun fact, makes it younger than the Nobel Prizes. And essentially, its role is to keep the US economy from crashing by centrally adjusting what's going on with the money. Some of it's with interest rates for loans. That's been in the news a lot recently because they keep increasing the interest rate. They supervise banks, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. That's a very, very rough summary of what is on the Federal Reserve's website explaining what they do. It's a lot more complicated than that, but bite-sized explanation. Bernanke now works for the Brookings Institution, which is a fancy Washington, D.C. based public policy organization conducting research. And that's him in a very small nutshell. Diamond is an economist and professor at the University of Chicago. In a press release, the university explaining him winning the prize and what he won it for says, quote, his research agenda for the past 40 years has been to explain what banks do, why they do it, and the consequences of these arrangements. So explaining the economy, as economists do. Among his work is the Diamond Dibbig theory, which, as you may have guessed from my earlier saying it out loud, he formulated it with Dibbig, who is the third laureate, and that was based on a paper that the two published in 1983. Dibbig is a Washington University in St. Louis banking and finance expert. Together with Diamond, they created that mathematical model that, and I'm doing my best to simplify this accurately, tries to explain why bank runs happen. Again, I don't know if they were the first to do that or if they just had the best mathematical model that like made it a rational behavior, as economists like to make everything.
As we all know, human behavior is.
Yeah. So basically, and this is from the various explanations of their theory, and also just like I took economics in high school and I know what a bank run is. A run on a bank is when a bunch of people all take their money out of the bank at once. People panic, basically, that they won't be able to get to their money because something is going wrong somewhere with the economy. The stock market is going down. There's a pandemic. Something that makes people nervous about the economic future prospects. So they go to the bank, they get their money out, and then it gets harder and harder for the bank to give the next person who does that their money, because banks don't actually have all of the money that people have deposited in the bank, because loans are a thing. The bank has the money from everyone who deposits it and then loans that money to people who need it for other stuff. And then because it's loaned out, you can't get every single person with their money in the bank to take it out at the same time, because then they go bankrupt. When everyone panics, eventually people can't get their money because everyone's taken that finite amount that doesn't actually cover everyone. And then that's the run on the bank. If you've seen It's a Wonderful Life, the, as my half of my family thinks, very depressing Christmas movie, that's the reason that George can't go on his honeymoon, is because he's preventing a run on his bank by putting his spending money for the honeymoon into the bank to cover everyone panicking. The most famous example of a bank run, and the most recent one that had happened when Diamond and Dibbig published their 1983 paper, is the Great Depression. So that was the last big, like, financial crash caused by a bank run. At the time, apparently people thought that bank runs were like a thing of the past, essentially, when they published their paper.
You know, in that way that people think, oh, this bad thing has passed, it can never happen again.
Yeah. In the Great Depression, the stock market crashed. Everyone wanted to get their cold hard cash because the money they invested in the stock market is not going to pay off. And that makes everything crash even harder. And basically a bank run is like a downward spiral. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing. Like if people would just take a deep breath, there would be less of a bank run. However, that's difficult to do because you need money to live. So anyway, the Diamond Dibbig theory, quote, provided a rigorous theoretical model of how even an otherwise healthy bank can collapse due to a run on its deposits caused by a coordination failure among depositors. It provided an economic rationale for federal deposit insurance as a way to eliminate this possibility and became a workhorse model for a vast literature to follow on bank runs, panics, and financial crises, thereby reshaping banking research on the issue of financial stability. That's from the Washington University press release about Dibbig winning the Nobel Prize. According to the Nobel Prize site, in their theory, Diamond and Dibbig show how banks offer an optimal solution to this problem. By acting as intermediaries that accept deposits from many savers, banks can allow depositors to access their money when they wish, while also offering long-term loans to borrowers. From later in that same Nobel Prize thing, as intermediaries between many savers and borrowers, banks are better suited to assessing borrowers' creditworthiness and ensuring that loans are used for good investments, thereby preventing a run. The reason that these two people who worked on the same theory together won alongside Bernanke, remember how I said the last run on a bank before their 1983 paper was the Great Depression? You'll never guess what happened in 2008.
Oh my gosh, I wonder what it could be.
Yes. So basically, Bernanke also did a lot of research on the Great Depression in his time before being the Federal Reserve Chair. And he essentially showed that bank runs were a huge contributing factor in why it was so awful for so long during the Great Depression. He found, quote, from the Nobel Prize site, when the banks collapsed, valuable information about borrowers was lost and could not be recreated quickly. Society's ability to channel savings to productive investments was thus severely diminished. And then because he was the Federal Reserve Chairman at the time of the 2008 financial crisis, according to that NPR article from earlier about him winning the prize, Quote, he put many of those lessons to work as Fed chairman, pioneering the emergency lending programs that the central bank used to address the financial crisis of 2008 to 2009. This was something of a controversial decision for some people, not to wade directly into American politics, but there was a whole Occupy Wall Street movement about the federal government's decision to bail out banks to deal with that 2008 financial crash.
Yep, there was.
Yeah, some people are, let's say, displeased with Bernanke winning. Obviously, as all economic and political things are, it's complicated, but I value my sanity, so I'm not going to rehash the entire 2008 financial crisis or share my opinions about it on the internet publicly right now. But yeah, that is about what they won the Nobel Prize for this year in economics. Thoughts, concerns?
I mean, lots of concerns. I feel when I saw the announcement this morning, it really just seemed like it was a prize for like saying, hey, it's bad when banks collapse, which I'm glad to know that it's not just that.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated. And again, I'm not sure how much of this was like common knowledge before their paper and Bernanke's research that he then applied quite literally in real time. So I don't know if it's a prize because they like codified a thing that everyone knew or if they were the ones to like discover it, but that is what they won for. So
on a more kind of serious, actual kind of criticism level, it feels like it's built kind of on the assumption that like the way that things are currently are the way that they have to be forever in terms of like the way that the system is set up.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do think that is kind of like the premise of economics.
It's not, though. There have been a few economics laureates, to my understanding, that call into question that whole thing of like, I think that one of the economics prizes was for people who like specifically did work in economics advocating for a system of like loan giving and things like that that are not based off of banks being the centralized like distributor of loans, and how that's like a really good way to build up a strong community from the ground up rather than from the top down.
I will take your word on it, because however much you don't know about economics, I am sure I know less. That will change when we get to economics approximately 10 billion years from now after the sun has swallowed the earth. but right now, I don't know enough about economics to say anything helpful or informative other than what I did research on for this.
That being said, like the way that the system is currently set up is based around that, right? So until such a time as you can try and move the system away from that, you have to deal with the constraints that you're in.
I'm glad we got as far as being able to say bank runs bad. So before we totally wrap up, two more things. One, Dibvig in particular has, I think, the most impressive mutton chops I have ever seen on a living human being. If you want to Google him real quick, I in fact encourage you to do so.
I saw a sketch of him earlier.
Yeah, that sketch, if you're talking about the like official one that they put on the Nobel Prize Twitter, they're not, I thought they did him dirty. They did not. That is accurate. So, sir, if you happen to be listening, hats off. I am genuinely impressed by your mutton chops. Two, apparently because Bernanke is in the DC area, he's like something of a minor local celebrity. There's at least one Instagram account like dedicated to funny overheard things that people say in DC that has like a whole thing about people running into Bernanke just like in the wild. So that was a funny thing that I saw like among the news related to the Nobel Prize announcement this morning, was that overheard account being like, oh yeah, we made this hat when there were all of these stories about people running into him. So that was mildly entertaining for me. That is all I have. That I have exhausted my economics knowledge for the time being. Anything else before we launch into recommendations?
We made it. We made it through Nobel Week.
Yay!
With an episode every day.
Happy Nobel Week to all who celebrate. We finished. It's over.
Yeah. Next year, I think one big episode at the end instead of episode every day.
Yeah. It was fun to do the episode every day. The problem was just that early October is when so many other things are also happening.
Yeah.
So it's not an ideal time to do an episode every day. The Daily from the New York Times, impressive. It probably helps that that's like all that they do, but also
Yeah.
Rex.
I also like, I think giving it a little bit of time, like a, you know, to wait till the end of the week will also let us gather criticisms more effectively, especially for the early ones, and like get better perspectives on things. 'Cause like, I think we did a good job of giving the information about what the prize was and like what the work was and what it meant and all that kind of stuff. But we could probably do better on getting, you know, the other side.
What people think, how they're responding.
And having just, if we do one big episode at the end rather than a bunch of little episodes on the same day, I think it'll be easier to do that kind of stuff.
What did you think of Nobel Week, listeners? All 12 of you. Let us know somehow.
We have so many more than 12 listeners.
It makes me feel better to think that there's only 12 people that I am saying all this nonsense to.
We hit 1,000 downloads last Friday. So thank you to everyone who's listening to this,
Yes,
because
thank
that's
you.
that is way more downloads than I thought we would have only like 2 months into this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for listening. I hope you like it.
Please contact us and let us know what you thought about our coverage of the Nobel Prizes this year. We welcome criticism. Just be nice, please. We want to improve. So let us know if there are ways we can improve or if there were things that you liked, because we can keep it for next year or for, you know, going forward. And also, it's just nice to hear that we're doing things nice. You can do that by emailing us at nobelsoblige1901@gmail.com or by messaging us on Facebook or Twitter at NobelSPod. And if you would like to supplement my grad student stipend, you can do so at ko-fi.com/NobelSOblige. That's ko-fi.com/NobelSOblige.
He has a dog to support, so it is appreciated. I have a recommendation. It's for like a very particular kind of person, but I happen to be that kind of person, so I'm gonna recommend it to all my fellow people. I am the photographer friend. Like, if there is a gathering of me and my friends, I am the one begging everyone to stop and gather so I can take a photo of everyone together. I like having evidence that my friends existed in the same place and time as me, and printing them out and putting them everywhere. So I recommend a camera that allows you to get like good physical photos of your friends, if that's something that you're into. It could be like a nice camera, and then you go to like your local drugstore and print them out. Or what I had this past weekend when I met up with some friends of Quinn and mine, a Polaroid camera. I know that that's like a hipster thing to do, but it's really fun to like immediately have a physical copy of the photo. The goal is not to have like a crisp HD image. The goal is to like get a vibe, you know, of you and your friends doing whatever you're doing in the place. I have several more photos of my friends than I did before I met up with everyone this past weekend, and now they're all stuck to my wall, and it's a good time. It makes me happy. So, physical photos of people you love.
Building off of that, I'm going to recommend making your friends' pictures incredibly cursed by behaving like an eldritch being.
That's it. No more. Go home. Bye.
Bye.